Yeah. I mean, it's really frightening. Because I
legit... just like tiny Venn diagrams. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, we're redefining awesome every day.
Yeah, we are. Fuck yeah. AE Doubleback, redefining awesome every day. Welcome to AE Doubleback. Oh, wow. No, I'm sorry. I got so caught up in that. I was like, oh, this is a dope-ass intro. I got to jump into it. But then my mouth got ahead of my brain. And so, welcome to AE Doubleback.
Did you have to have ribs removed so that that could happen?
I wish. December 7th, 2022. I am, I'm on a sugar high. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
I'm not going to lie. Once we lock in the definition of awesome for the day we record, I pretty much roll with that until something happens.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the next episode, I haven't changed my clothes or my definition of awesome in that whole time.
Mm. Now, you know, you got to reset for the week.
Yeah.
Are you reset for the week? Come on, baby. Shout out to the five. We love you. And
the Pentaveret, if you will.
The pillars of AE Doubleback.
The pillars of AE Doubleback. There are five of them. I only know Ionic, Doric, and Corinthian, but like, if you know the rest.
Those are columns. Brother in. Those are not pillars. Those are columns.
What's
the diff?
Okay.
Right?
That's
now
what I want to know.
That question.
That's what I know. I'm going to Google pillar versus column.
One of my favorite grouping of minute distinctions is like all the different like structures that we collectively basically just call podiums. But like there are like numerous different things that are all their own thing that all in slightly different ways like fulfill that function. Because like podium, I don't even think means like what we think it means. Like a podium is like something you stand like on, not something you stand behind, which would be like a rostrum or a lectern.
Hmm. Did you know that the British Prime Minister gets their own lectern/podium, whatever you want to call it? They each get a new one made, and they're all very different and distinct. Apparently, even though they're all the same.
Is there like one with Burberry and they call it the BBB?
I don't know. It's just whichever ones they choose for themselves.
The BBL,
and,
the big Burberry lectern.
What's her face? Had just like she had one for like what, a month, and then
May. Yeah.
No, not Theresa May.
No, the other lady.
What's
Liz Truss?
Yeah.
She was in and out of there, and so then they had to make a whole new one. So one barely gets used, and then they have to get a new one, and they're all really expensive. And I was like, wow, for a country that's, especially the Tory government, that's bitching and griping about the cost of the NHS and all this bullshit they say is unnecessary spending, maybe that's a place to start. You don't need one of those.
Teresa would hound the expenses of the common people who are allowed to rise to the level of prime minister instead of cutting down on the expenses of the royal family.
No, I just hate the Tories. And I don't like what they've done over the last 12 years. Obviously, they weren't in charge the entire time, but basically they have, right?
My cousin is named Tory, and you know what? You would hate him.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Tory Amos.
Ooh.
I love Tory Amos.
So you lie about hating Tories. What else are you lying about, Teresa?
The political group.
That you're lying
basically
about the political group?
Wiped their ass with their own country. Yeah. Sorry if I'm offending anyone, but yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Tories.
Hopefully we haven't lost Ella Scorpion, who I believe is in the UK, and so he would know if you're talking bullshit about his political system.
Sorry, y'all.
Possibly.
I listened to too much radio.
Uh-oh. Is this where we find out that Teresa's a big Rush Limbaugh fan?
No, because Rush Limbaugh would definitely be in the Tory party.
She's not gonna be listening to Rush Limbaugh via radio these days. She's gonna have to listen to him with her Ouija board.
Yeah. So it may sound like this podcast is a let's shoot the shit with our thumbs up our asses, but we actually have a subject for this podcast.
Don't say.
Yeah. And typically, that subject is wrestling. And
wrestling!
Tell about
grinding awesome! I want to bring up a couple of things. Well, okay, one thing we can talk about later. But one thing that Calder brought up in our chats this week and also has been sort of bouncing around and speculation has been flowing. ROH.
Yeah.
It looks like they're resurrecting their streaming channel. There was talk about a show on YouTube before the pay-per-view, which is coming up real soon. Oh gosh, is it this weekend? It might even be this weekend.
I think there's something happening Saturday.
Tony
Khan said that we're pretty much not going to be seeing much ROH stuff on AEW TV after this week, I think he said. Or
that'll
real
be
soon,
nice.
At any rate.
It's been a little much.
Maybe things are happening. I worry that they didn't get a TV deal, that they were looking for one, didn't get one, and so they're just going to go back to streaming. But then, I mean, shoot, if it works for
New Japan. Yeah.
Would you pay $10 for an ROH channel?
I mean, if that's what it takes to gain access to Dalton Castle, then yes.
That's the sad thing. We're gonna lose Dalton Castle. We're gonna lose Samoa Joe. You know, these are sad things. Although maybe they're transitioning Samoa Joe because now he has the TNT belt. So maybe they're trying to hang on to Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe is having a promotion affirming surgery. He's going to transition.
we should save some of this talk for the actual match. But the thing that really stuck out to me is that I was complaining about his promo last week because there was a bunch of era talk, and then MJF's got his own era, and we're just era, but he's now saying King of Television, which is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. I love the television title. It was a thing on ECW. It was a thing in WCW. It's at the same level as the TNT title, although it's not done the same way, which is a shame. But King of Television, great gimmick. But if they don't have TV for ROH, they can't send him there because they don't have any TV.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have to do is to stream the broadcast like on a laptop that they then cast to a TV like someplace so that, you know, if it's on a TV, it's on TV.
I don't think you know how Nielsen's work, my friend.
I strongly doubt that the Nielsen's really like apply in this situation regardless.
Fair point. Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royale. Royal?
Yes.
Royal?
Royal.
Battle Royal.
They say Royal, but I think it technically is a Royale.
I mean, we want to say Royale because we're used to Battle Royale. Was it Royal Rumble? Oh, that's right. It's Battle Royale because otherwise it's Royal Rumble, right?
A Royale Rumble?
Where I'm looking at it written down, it says Royal.
Okay. Must be
but
Royal.
What do they call it in France?
Was cheese. Oh.
That was low. That was low.
All right.
My mother was killed by a cheeseburger.
You know.
Flying French cheeseburger.
A lot of people have probably been killed by cheeseburgers over the years.
I like the Hamburglar.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got...
They don't call him the ham murderer. Jesus Christ. He just steals shit.
an innocent victimless crime.
The Hamburglar was killed.
Right. Well, I thought you said the Hamburglar was killing people.
No, he was killed by a cheeseburger.
He's killed by a cheeseburger. Wow, that is ironic.
He steals them and eats them. And
but he's not the cheeseburglar.
I mean, but he's a Hamburglar. And
he's a Hamburglar.
Cheeseburgers are part of that.
Yeah, sometimes when you're burgling a ham, you know, you get some cheese in there.
If you... what?
Steamed hams.
How long will it take for us to finally work it around to Simpsons? The answer is about 7 minutes.
It felt like an eternity.
It really did.
I really was trying to get us on track. You guys quit it. Just knock it the fuck off. Okay?
Blame us.
This match was one of those ones that sort of... it always bothers me when anyone doesn't get a proper entrance. And it's like bad enough when it's like it makes sense, like, or at least you understand why somebody doesn't get an entrance. Like if it's just a regular one-on-one match and like one person is like an established star and the other person is Jason Reynolds, and like Jason Reynolds doesn't get an entrance, and I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like the asymmetry of it. And entrances are fun, so who wouldn't want more entrances? But at least I more like get it. But I don't really get,
like, half the roster didn't get an entrance. It was so crazy. I was like, wait, what?
I mean, they go, that's ding, the ding, thing, though.
And then like all these fucking people entered the. I was like, wait a minute.
I don't hate that when you're on regular weekly television. You know, you have a battle royale every once in a while to mix things up. And because you've got, you know, 20 people in the ring, the match is only going to last, you know, like the normal TV match length. So
skip all that stuff, throw everyone in the ring,
and just like mosh it up. It's just a big schmoz, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Then you know what they should do? Everyone starts in the ring.
Yeah.
No one gets an entrance. Everyone starts in the ring. Like they're trying to have their hamburger and eat it too. Just have a little Chiron or something with the names of everyone. Meow. That's it.
All right.
Meow. It solved their problem for them. Oh,
so wow.
Wow, that's how
the
convivial
crowd
of
was
you.
Chanting, "Let's go, Ricky."
Oh, yeah, they were. Oh, my.
You know you're in Austin when Dustin Rhodes is in the match.
I mean, here's the thing. I was like, when he came out, I was, and they're saying, like, oh, he could win this thing. I'm like, No, he can't.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, the rules don't prohibit it. I get it. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And then, apparently Ricky's a hometown boy now, even though, I mean, he's from Louisiana.
Everyone loves Ricky. It doesn't matter. Everyone loves Ricky. It doesn't matter where he is. Yeah. But okay, so we have this battle royal, and it's crazy and it's hard to watch because you're like, there's all this stuff happening all over the place. Some things that stick out later in the match: Jungle Boy gets thrown down on the corner of the apron.
Oh my god, this was terrifying.
Oof.
And it was his neck and the back of his head that slammed on that shit, and I'm like, what was that supposed to be? Is that what that was supposed to be?
Is that guy
a professional wrestler and he did that to another wrestler?
If it were Darby Allin, I'd be like, oh yeah, he absolutely intended it to look exactly that horrible. With Jungle Boy, I'm like, oh geez, I hope that was intentional, because it looked horrible.
Could have fucking cracked up his neck bones.
Yeah.
Neck bones no longer connected to the head bone.
Yeah.
That aside, it was a great spot where Jungle Boy, who did he take out? He took somebody out over the top rope with the Hurricane Rana, and then was trying to skin the cat like you do when you're a guy his size. And then
Lee Moriarty.
Lee Moriarty, thank you. Well, and that's a great feud. And then Big Bill, they're calling him Big Bill now, and I don't hate that. Just comes in with the big boot, knocks him off. I'm like, oh, very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. And then they did that. I'm like, oh no.
That was horrible. It was horrible.
That being said, Jungle Boy versus Morrissey is a great friggin' feud.
If only it was the musician Morrissey.
I honestly, right? You can't say that without me being like, can we have something from Bona Drag as his like music? You know, can we do something like this?
I just don't want the real Morrissey. Why would I say one Morrissey's more? I guess is the musician Morrissey's real name Morrissey? Because
yes,
wrestling Morrissey's name is not, right?
Yeah. Fred Morrissey, I think, is his name.
Is the musician or is
Chuck Morrissey?
Chuck Morrissey?
Chet. I'm sorry, Chet Morrissey.
That's Morrissey?
Yeah.
Is who?
What?
Which one are you talking about?
The singer. Obviously.
I didn't know his name was Chet. Obviously. I didn't know his name is Chet.
You didn't know his name was Chet?
No.
Sure. Everybody knows his name is Chet. And nobody will go look it up because that's far too difficult. And so we will call him Chet to the end of time.
That's probably why he's such a piece of crap. Probably. That his name is Chet. Yeah.
There are no nice Chets.
No, I mean, well, there's Chet from the Hardy Boys, I think.
Oh, my God.
What? There's a Chet
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, like that's a reference. Anyways. Okay. So
are we talking about wrestling?
Let's get back to it. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Much love to Butcher, who eliminated Dustin.
Yes.
And continued to be a threat throughout the whole match. That's exactly what Butcher and Blade should be doing, is not necessarily winning anything, but just constantly fucking shit up. Into it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, his name's Steven Patrick, you motherfuckers.
I'm pretty sure it's Chet.
You're not the motherfucker, Calder. I pluralized it for no reason.
Thank you.
Also, I hope I never get tired of Dalton Castle's Battle Royale Boys gimmick.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. This was so like good. Like the best one yet because of how many times in a row they pulled it, and then
go
like,
around.
Like, yeah, they went around to the other end of the. I mean, not that that helped.
No, it doesn't have to.
It's just to make so
things
fun.
Worse.
Entertain the shit out of me.
Well, see, and this is returning back to the entrance grievance. If anyone should get one, if anyone's getting
one,
I
totally agree.
Dalton needed to get one.
He needed to get one. Like, I need more of his entrances.
That's this thing of like, you just sort of like take into account all the like things that a wrestler brings to the table that are adding value to the broadcast. And you obviously say Ricky gets one because, one, he's an important star, yes. But even if he wasn't, you'd probably still want that entrance to be on the table. So it just seems like Dalton would be a part of that as well. Well, yeah. They didn't do that.
No,
oh, well.
They didn't. Yeah. All right, so Ethan was funny because he was ordering Matt Hardy around. Man. And, you know, the ending was crazy because at first the action was kind of fast and it looked like Ricky had been thrown out, but it was Ethan.
Yeah.
And Ricky is triumphant.
Yes.
So that means that he goes on to fight MJF for the Diamond Ring. Now, do we want to? This second half is so long.
As soon as it started, I was like, new segment.
Okay. So the Battle Royal, I gave it a thumbs up because it looked like there were some fun things that we'll probably see more of in the future as far as feuds. That's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We saw one just later on in the episode.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it'll be, I gave it a thumbs up. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
I don't understand why Ricky won this. Cause he was already going to have a match with MJF. So it doesn't make sense unless they do some like weird finish where Ricky gets the ring, but not the belt or some foolishness like that. I think they could have pushed someone else in the slot, you know, giving them a future title shot or whatever. But also, yeah, it was entertaining back to front. And I'm never unhappy when Ricky wins. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so the minute Ricky wins, MJF's music comes on. They don't give Ricky even a minute to, you know, bask in the glory of a win.
No.
MJF goes, bathroom.
MJF goes, you know, comes out, he's on the mic, he's going on and on. And Ricky played it real cool. He was taking all that bullshit from MJF, just played it real cool, like, just very cool reaction on the face, nothing, not giving anything away.
Yeah, then, like it's an interesting contrast to how, like, the more heelish Ricky is, where he's hyper reacting with his face, yes, to every little thing. This is definitely the good guy Ricky who doesn't blow his top over everything.
Yes. But then Ricky takes the mic, the crowd's super happy, and he just obliterates MJF. Calls him Maxi Bad, and then the crowd starts chanting Maxi Bad, and you see MJF, you can see his mouth, read his lips, and he's saying, if that sticks, I swear to God. Something like this. And he's saying, you know, Ricky was calling him a fifth-rate Roddy Piper wannabe. He smells like paint thinner and ass. He's like, everything about you is cheap, and you think you're better than moi? Give me a break. And the crowd better goes crazy. Oh, I love Ricky so much. And he's telling MJF, like, you don't ever have to deal with the... You can blow off signings. You can blow off your fans. He's like, but you don't understand what the responsibility of being liked. You don't understand responsibility. And I was like, God damn it. He's so amazing. This is like a mic battle. And it was so good. And then Ricky Spears... Ricky spears Max. Okay, MJF kicks Ricky in the ding dong.
Ricky, God, no, let's take a moment, because the way he does it is so artful. Like, there's just this, the kind of standoff that you get, you know, like with Paige and Mox, and they're just like face to face and just like, and, you know, like Ricky's just all keyed up. And then he just this light flick, just like boop, and it just goes down. And like, you don't see that kind of just sort of, again, there's no other word for it, but an artful dick kick. And I love it so much.
Okay. And then, so Ricky follows this up by spearing Max so hard that Max's shoes fly off. His feet, and Max is on his back. Ricky's like holding his dong, and then he grabs Max's belt, and he's still holding his ding dong. It was so funny because he's still selling the dick kick, right? While he's also like trying to show, you know, his I got him, guys, I got him. I don't know. The whole thing was so great. And I was like, if this is what we get with Ricky, where he's still going to try and sell that dick kick on top of this beautiful spear and like holding up the championship belt, you know, we can use more of this. Am I right?
I mean, these are two of the best sellers in the game.
Yes.
Because like getting, you know, that thing where, most wrestlers chew gum, and then every once in a while someone will smack them hard enough that it flies out of their mouth, and you're like, Jesus Christ, was that a tooth or what the fuck happened? He got hit so hard that, you know, something popped out of his mouth. Oh my God. The shoes coming off after getting speared is that times 1,000.
Yes.
Like, how hard did he get hit? He got speared out of his fucking shoes.
Yeah.
And nobody else does that sell. And it's so great. Well,
Charlie Brown does it.
Charlie Brown is a fucking hack. Yeah, I said it.
Wow.
Peanuts, they are D-rate league at best. At D-rate best. League. They're below XPW. They're below SCCW, which is an e-fed that I used to run back in the day. Hmm. Me and Tony Khan got a lot in common.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I gave this mic battle segment a huge thumbs up.
I mean, look, I because I'm sorry, the MJF stuff was so wonderful. There's a lot of stuff that, and there are people who have issues if wrestlers get too close to the truth when they're cutting these kind of promos. You know, it's kind of one thing to say, like, hey, you're fat. But if you're like, you know what, your mom cheated on your dad in 1984. Jesus Christ, what a fucking miserable life you must have had. You know, like, it. Sometimes it kind of feels like, oh, Jesus, that was not great.
Too much.
I don't like it all the time, but it especially is over the line when somebody starts making fun of somebody's social security number or something like that.
But because Ricky's right, you know, like most of that was low hanging fruit. But again, MJF is so good at it that you're like, yes, take those cheap shots. Oh, they're just such wonderful cheap shots. They're artful, like the dick kick. When MJF came out, he's saying that Danielson, you're not here because you're terrified of me. And he calls Steven Regal Willie Riggs. That's wonderful. He says, like, he says Rudy Poo candy ass, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. That's when I'm like, I don't know how great it is that you're calling out, you know, the influence of The Rock on Ricky Starks, because there's a lot of influence in there. And that is, you kind of don't want to expose that. But when he calls him Richard, yeah. And when he says you're absolute Ricky Starks, you're the absolute drizzling shits. That's wonderful.
I thought calling him the Pebble was a good one.
Whew, boy. That's rough. Although then saying you're just going to skip him like a pebble, like, I appreciate that. Because he like extends the metaphor and takes it somewhere, you know, beautiful. MJF used the word humanoids. And I was so mad that Ricky Starks did not turn right around and call him a dollar store Bobby Heenan, because nobody else in wrestling uses humanoids except for Bobby Heenan, which clearly MJF has stolen so much stuff from. And you might as well steal from the best. And part of the reason why I'm gushing so much is because Roddy Piper, Bobby Heenan, like some of my favorite wrestlers ever. And so when MJF is just cribbing off their, you know, their classic stuff, it just feels, this is my goddamn wheelhouse in wrestling is what it is. Yeah. And so like, then when MaxiPad came out, I'm like, oh Jesus, it's terrible, but also it's the
fucking great.
He volleyed it right back. Like, cheap shit,
you hear something like that and it's surprising you haven't heard it already.
I'm sure he had it chanted at him a billion times in whatever, you know, indie fed he was in before this. Probably just growing up. Also, better than moi, I got real strong so Miss good. Piggy vibes on that. And not in a bad way. In a very good way. Because if Miss Piggy were in the
Is
ring with...
Is that the only French you've ever heard? Is from Miss Piggy. You know he's from New Orleans.
I am aware, and yet I still felt Miss Piggy, and I'm okay with it.
I'm sure Chan has also learned some French from the love scenes between Gomez and Morticia Adams.
You know, that's a lot of Italian.
That's where I get. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for dragging this on far too long. I loved it.
Yes.
Big thumbs up.
We got a Darby Allin promo and a Samoa Joe promo all in one promo.
Ooh. It's like a box of nerds that people are shouting at each other in.
Yeah. Which side, the pink or the purples?
Nerds are great. I understood
both of those separately. A box of nerds, yes. People, how are the people inside the box yelling? or the nerds themselves yelling, or someone yelling into the box with the nerds, and the nerds are just sad because they're being yelled at?
I vaguely remember a commercial of the nerds talking.
I just imagine people being inside the box instead of nerds.
Oh. I see. And so Darby Allin and Samoa Joe are the nerds?
Yeah. I mean, I leave it to you. Which one is the purple nerd and which one is the pink nerd?
You look at Samoa Joe and you think, oh, yeah, he's probably a nerd. I could give him a swirly. I'd probably toss him into a garbage can.
Look, I was thinking of candy, I don't know.
I was thinking about candy.
You know the candy, right?
This is how you do a Darby Allin promo, because they were able to just sort of like string together whatever and make it sound good.
Yeah.
I'm not usually a big fan of a live Darby promo, but this was good. And then Samoa Joe is the king of television, so obviously.
Mm-hmm. Man, his was great. I loved it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, as the king of television, Samoa Joe is ultimately going to come into collision with the king of cartoons. That's going to be quite a fight.
Oh, man. King of cartoons. That motherfucker's just a figurehead now.
Whoa. Are you saying that they need to get Paul Rubens on the show?
They've got a parliament of cartoons now.
To, like, squash the, I don't know, who would Pee-wee Herman beat? Orange Cassidy?
Maybe Danhausen.
Yeah, that's what Danhausen.
Okay. I mean, I think Danhausen would have to win so that he could take the title of King of Cartoons.
I would support that.
So we got a Mox promo right after this promo. Did y'all thumb it up? Did y'all thumb the promo?
Yeah,
I thumbed the promo up.
Yes.
There's a Mox promo. It was good, you know. He's talking a lot about Blackpool Combat Club. He's talking a lot about Jazz. It's interesting because, you know, you just assume with William Regal leaving, because I guess he's leaving. I guess he's going back to WWE.
Yes.
You just think it's going to fall apart, right? But they keep reiterating that Blackpool Combat Club is, like, going to continue. Which, of the group, none of them now are from Blackpool, so, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, it's okay. Like, it's just like the Utah Jazz or something of the like. I figure it still plays.
You mean that Jazz was not started in Utah, so why the
believe
fuck
it or not.
Is their team named Jazz?
Well, they came from New Orleans. They were the New Orleans Jazz, and that made sense. But then they moved to Utah and kept the name, which has happened at, like, some different times. Like the Memphis Grizzlies started in Vancouver, where you could imagine there being a bear.
Yeah.
But
the Supersonics.
Well, the Supersonics moved to Oklahoma City because they were having an arena battle with the city. And the city wouldn't pay for it. And so
why didn't they keep the name Supersonics?
Well, in that case, there was an actual burst of good sense to change it to the Thunder when they moved the team. Because that wouldn't have made as much sense because Seattle is like Boeing's home backyard.
Yeah. Interesting. The Sonics.
And this is, you know, important wrestling stuff.
This is important for wrestling.
I'm still mad that that Seattle lost the only basketball team I ever followed.
They're probably going to get another one soon enough. They'll probably get to be called the Supersonics, too.
You mean you never followed the Bulls?
Will they have Gary Payton and Sean Kemp? Because if not,
I don't know who they're going to have. They might have all of them.
Because that was probably from when you were in high school or something.
Are either of them still alive? I'm not even sure.
They could. Oh yeah, they might have a coaching staff with Kemp and McMillan and the whole bunch. Who knows?
Okay.
All right. So this promo though that Mox cut, I liked it. What did you guys think about it?
It was pretty good. The stuff he was talking about with AEW being about wrestling and not talking, I thought was strong.
Except in fact, for Doug, so much promos tonight, but okay.
Yeah. But Doug Johnson, but Doug, yeah, true. You're right. But Doug Johnson like sent us a thing about what did he say? He said a new shirt would be the Blackpool Microphone Club, which Moxley says in his promo, which was pretty funny.
That would be cool.
Which I haven't checked. I would be shocked if it was there.
I mean, you got Mox and Danielson; they're pretty good.
And Claudio and Wheeler.
Yeah, but they're iffy on their promos.
Yeah, I know. That's why it'd be kind of hard to call the whole thing a Microphone Club.
Anyways.
Anyways.
Thumbs up.
Yeah,
anyways. Yeah.
Samoa Joe, Darby Allin, they got a match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah, oh, man. This is a great pairing because of Samoa Joe's capacity for wreaking havoc and Darby Allin's propensity for gleefully taking it.
I don't know how to feel about this because I feel like this particular combination is a little too much. I look at Jungle Boy and Morrissey. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, this will be a good fight. This, I feel like, between Samoa Joe's willingness to dish out pain and Darby's willingness to take it, like, willing, I watch some of these things and go, like, that's years off the man's career. That, I don't think we should, I don't feel good about this. The suicide atope where, you know.
That's what I was going to say a minute ago. It's like when Samoa Joe just walks away from Darby as Darby goes through the ropes and he just ends up hitting the ground and the barrier.
It's horrifying.
It's like, shit, dude. I didn't know they're supposed to stand there and, you know, like, that's their job now because you decided to do a tope suicida. I mean, I know that because that's your coworker, right?
Yeah. But,
like, they usually make it look like, oh, oops, I'm still here. but Joe doesn't do that at all.
His signature thing is to walk away when someone's flying because, like, he's not stupid.
Yeah.
Darby's signature thing is
being stupid.
Being stupid. And it's just a horrible combination. Although there was a later spot where Joe runs him into the post and, you know, Darby goes spinning off and it looks spectacular. And it actually, you know, like it that one didn't do any damage. You know, he just really sold it really well and it looked like he, you know, was hit and flung around, you know, but he wasn't actually smacking in anything, unlike fucking getting thrown on the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you talk about it being like too extreme a pairing, it reminds me of do either of you guys remember one of the scenes in Silence of the Lambs where they're talking where Hannibal Lecter is talking about these birds that dive. And how, like, if two of the there are either shallow divers or there are deep divers, and two shallow divers can mate and produce reasonable children, but two deep divers will produce children who dive too deep. And he says, like, oh, Clarice Starling is a deep diver. Let us hope one of her parents was not.
I don't remember that, but that sounds awesome. Was it in the book, maybe?
It was pretty good. No, because I never read the book. So it was either in... It was either in the first
director's
movie
cut.
Or it was I don't think it was in Hannibal or anything like that. I think it was in the original. But I do remember it vividly from one of the properties.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
But this was a crazy match. It was entertaining. It was scary. Joe wins. And then Darby went after Joe, and so then Joe headbutt him and started put him in a chokehold and then like slammed him on his skateboard.
Then Wardlow runs out to help Darby.
Oh, slow down. Don't skip over the fact that he took a skateboard, flipped it upside down. No, he dropped it, and it flipped right side up. And he took it and put it back upside down to give a muscle buster on it, which is one of those things, kind of like how Abdullah the Butcher used to use a fork. Because, like, yeah, you could use some, you know, huge chair or something like that, but an ordinary person doesn't know what that feels like. Everybody knows what it feels like to land on something small and hard like that, and you give it a little extra cringe because it's so terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the old school kind of cringe, not the kind where dad says something about a rock band that no one's ever heard of to try to seem cool.
Yeah, this that is the, I just stepped on my Legos.
Cringe.
Yes.
Barefoot.
It's a Lego cringe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Equally
as cringy is Wardlow running out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice seg. I'm on board.
But, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I just have not been able to stay on Wardlow's side. He got me for, like, a minute, and then I just haven't been able to stay on his side. So, that's right with that. But I gave the match a thumbs up.
I mean, here's the thing. The match ended after the muscle buster. I don't remember anything after that, and I refuse to acknowledge it was ever there. Thumbs up.
The segment ended before that. That was aftermath.
The segment was done.
Oh, yeah.
We cut to commercial.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just remember something about Papa John's.
Oh, yeah.
There was
Papa John's, which has no negative associations that would cause you to black it out as well.
Not now that Shaq is the owner. Or he's not really the owner.
You see, I didn't think he was the full owner. Although, I wonder if he could afford Papa John's.
Big old partner.
Mm-hmm. Big old partner.
Orange Cassidy and Kip Sabian promo. I don't like Orange Cassidy cutting promos.
Really?
He's getting a lot wordier these days.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like it's just not fun. It's not as entertaining as his character is. You know what I mean? It's really deflating. Because it's like he can't verbalize the attitude and all the other kinds of things that he can do non-verbally. So when he tries to verbalize it, it really falls flat for me and sucks. So it's like, it doesn't sound like, oh, I'm a cool guy and I don't care about this, that, the other. It just sounds like I'm bad at this. You know what I mean? And I know he's not bad, but it's just not a good promo. So if they want him to continue like doing well, then he needs to have someone speak for him, or they need to give the belt to somebody that they allow to cut promos. But
maybe somebody who is international.
Yeah, like Kip Sabian. Make sense.
Yeah.
But you know, it would be interesting to have Kip Sabian get the belt, because we really are getting reacquainted with the guy. He had a character change, you know, he's been gone a long time because of his injury, of course. And I do want to get to know him again as this new character. I liked him before, so I assume I'll like him again. But he's got some sort of Marvel character look about him right now. Like,
he really has this. Yeah. He has this George Michael thing going on.
Like Wham era George Michael, or like father figure era.
I guess more like the dangerous cool George Michael.
At what point was George Michael dangerous and or cool?
All the time.
He was dangerous.
He was
the system.
Always dangerous. Cool.
Always dangerous.
Anyways,
what kind of people am I podcasting with here?
I middle
you need to re-examine George Michael.
I really liked hearing from Kip Sabian. I liked his side of the promo. But the whole thing, I gave a middle.
I liked it. I thumbed it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I enjoyed it, and I'm happy to see kept getting to do stuff. And, you know, when he's like, find me somebody. And he says, and walks away. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm intrigued. I want to see what who he brings.
I want to say Rufus. I want to say Cyrano. You mean
classic funk band from the 70s, Rufus with Chaka Khan?
And I keep thinking of all these names that are not the right names.
Well, because... you're talking about, Rusev.
Yeah.
You mean Miro. Are you saying Miro?
Yes, yeah. Miro. Yes, okay. I know.
I honestly had no idea who you're talking about.
I'm turning into my mother. I said, Rufus, I said, Cyrano, no, I know that's not it. I know neither of those are right.
Does it help
that I say them out loud? It does, because Caller knew.
I knew. I think, but it reminds me of Cockney rhyming slang or something like that, where it's like, well, Teresa's going to say something, and you have to sort of in your head rhyme it with something that you then rhyme it with something else to get to the right answer. It just amazes me that those people got so bored so long ago just calling somebody a piece of shit that they're like, you know, we need to spice this up.
Yeah. Oh, no, my cat lost her mouse.
Oh,
the mousey went under the door of the closet.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. She looks so sad.
Well, our listeners will understand that we have to suspend the podcast indefinitely.
No, it's okay. Calder, just take you haven't given your thumb yet for this, so take about 15 minutes so that Teresa can go and get the mouse. I feel like it'll be longer because she's going to start petting Ramona.
I completely thumbed it.
What did you thumb it?
I middled it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I wasn't paying attention because it was such a lackluster. It was a mid. It was a mid from you. I couldn't even be bothered.
Oh, man.
All right. Gotcha. Oh, I forgot to mention fucking Taz at the end of the last segment after the Muscle Buster. Fucking Taz. Live by the board, die by the board.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
All right.
I've made some stank puns, but that one that's next level right there.
What was it? Sorry.
Live by the board, die by the board. Sorry, were you too preoccupied with your mouse closet endeavor?
Yeah.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
I probably should have known the answer to that. That one's on me. Yeah.
Oh shit.
What happened? What did the cat lose now?
Nothing. Sorry. My friend texted me and I forgot to respond. It's so unrelated. I'm just gathering my wits.
I guess we see where your priorities are.
All right, so
everybody in the audience knows what that joke is, right?
No, I don't think so. That's just us.
That might be just for us.
This is our chats.
Okay, because here's the thing. In our chats, Calder started saying, well, I guess we see where your priorities are, when one of us would be like running late or doing something like legitimately important or whatever, and so we had to wait, and then it just became a thing, and I started getting irritated by it, which then meant that we had to do it more, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And then it just became a dumb bit, and then I believe it was Calder who escalated it by then turning it into memes of people and animals saying, well, I guess we see where your priorities are.
Not just people and animals, but us and our animals.
Our pets, yeah.
Yeah.
Saying, just staring.
Point being, we need to turn those into shirts. And to do that, we need everybody to know the joke instead of it just being a thing that we think is hilarious or not hilarious.
All right. The final respite from we see where your priorities are had been the show itself, but I guess even there is now violable.
No, because look, we got to make that kish cash, son. We gotta get paid. We gotta merch it up.
I do want to make that paper.
Cheddar, cheddar, cheddar. That's slang for money.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a true story.
And I was calling it Swiss. Mm. All right. We've got...
Oh, that makes sense. I get that. Swiss love money.
We got Jazz.
Jazz.
We got Jazz. Claudio.
Claudio.
We got Promo.
Promo.
It's two for one. Jericho's promo was better than Claudio's. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. sorry for giving you a heart attack from the shock.
Yeah. But I still liked all of it, so I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. Jericho cut this promo on his phone. He was probably doing cameos, and in between that, it was like, you know what? I guess I'll cut
Tony's a promo for Dynamite. 2 minutes. It's like, okay.
It's like, I'll give you 90 seconds. Pay me, Con.
Tony, in fact, had to buy a cameo in order to get the promo.
It's like, this is the subject I need you to cover.
my name is Tony.
And yep. Direct it towards Claudio. Thanks.
but I mean, on the other hand, like, did he sort of like phone it? Did he literally phone it in? Yes. Is he still such a great promo that he sold it? No, not with the angle. Not, that would be holding it too hard to hold that up that high. Is he still a great promo? Yes. So, you know, whatever. Thumb that up. It's great.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
I wasn't as enthralled with it, I guess. It was definitely all right, but I think that the doing it in that fashion robbed it of too much for me, so it was a middle.
That's fair.
We've got Claudio, Wheeler Yuta.
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 I feel like that's racist. It's probably not, but it feels Yuta. Racist.
I just said Claudio, and again, I'm turning into my mom, which means all my words mushed together.
Claudia
versus,
and Yuta. That's right.
Yeah. Claudia versus Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia.
No. No.
What?
Garcia and Hager with his hat.
All right. Because
it was on the Chiron.
All right.
I love it.
I mean, the best part was like him trying to get Claudio to wear the hat, and Claudio repeatedly like putting the hat just above head level. And like, I mean, yeah, of course he's going to drop kick it into the.
But also, we're kind of teasing putting that team back together, and the crowd. They fucking remember it. They remember that team was called We the People, and they were chanting it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really growing on this idea. I really like it.
It's remarkable the memories and the long-term connection that people have with the material in wrestling. Because I don't know how much that I feel like in music maybe that exists also. Like if somebody has followed a musician from way, way back, maybe there would be something like that. But it feels like it happens so much more in wrestling that people have a connection with someone going back to their very earliest days wrestling in front of people. So that like if two guys did backyard wrestling at some point in middle school or something like that, there would be somebody to remember what entrance music they would hum with their just to themselves like when they would come in.
Yeah. Well, when would they have done We the People, Jim?
That was WWE, I want to say, shit, like 10 years ago.
Okay.
An eternity in wrestling, like 5 years is.
And I that mean, was Claudio and Yuta?
It's an eternity. No, Claudio and Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger. Jake Hager.
Aha. Uh-huh. Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah, when was that? 2014? Right around there? 13?
No way to know. There's just no way to know.
So, yeah, I thought this was interesting. You know, Sammy Guevara tries to fuck around, but Mox makes sure he finds out.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. That was very cool. It was very. I like that. You're a good podcaster.
Yeah. Not really, but I'll take it. I'll take that one little win. But Claudio gets the win, so he and Yuta are victorious.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a botch there where Hager didn't get over for the Hurricane Rana. That kind of sucked. But yeah, what are you gonna do? I guess we can talk about, because afterwards, I don't know. Is this another segment?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe not.
Oh, we don't know. Yes. I thought it would be another segment, and I feel like it should be because it touches on Regal.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Okay, so yeah. I thumbed this matchup. I thought it was good. There was really great action, and you know, happy with it.
Yeah,
I thumb it up. All right, so
then
after this match, we have Shivani on mic, and he had been hinting towards this earlier in the night that he needs to show everyone something. So basically,
something that gives me a lot of concern.
Yeah. He shows us this video of an interview he did with William Regal, and he's like, Regal even prefaced what he was saying with, like, no one's really going to see this unless something bad happens. So he's explaining to the guys in the Blackpool Combat Club. He's like, look, I'm Blackpool Combat Club till I die, but you need to learn one more lesson. And this is how the only way I can teach you. And basically that they don't need him. They can do their own shit now, whatever. That's why he turned on them, because they'd never let him leave, and they don't really need someone like him. And so he had to do what he had to do. But and then Mox cut a pretty decent promo.
I thought this was a fantastic send-off.
Yes.
This is a... there'd been talk about this for a while, and I mean, as soon as Triple H was in charge, people were like, oh, well, obviously he's going to go, right? Like, it was insane of them to fire Regal in the first place.
Yeah.
He's got to go back to WWE, right? And so for a long time, that sort of feeling that, like, oh boy, his days here are numbered, aren't they? And so, you know, like, when it kind of did happen, by all accounts, like, Regal had time left on his contract. He was like, hey, I would like to spend some time with my kid, and then I want to go back to WWE. Is that cool? And he's one of those people in wrestling that, yeah, he deserves to be
whatever he wants
to be.
Yeah.
And I am glad that he was here for a short time and made the show much more entertaining just for being on it.
Yeah.
And they let him go, you know, with a gentleman's handshake, and love it. It's perfect, and I'm so happy. And it's not going to be the only reason that I may check out a little bit of WWE going forward, but, you know, sure shit doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had gotten the impression that over there he will be more behind the scenes. I'm not sure if he's going to have an on-screen role, but he'll nonetheless have a very positive influence.
If he fucking brings back Black and Gold, or any version of it, if he makes NXT watchable again, I'll be back.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, someone's getting tired.
I guess I better go.
You yawned first. All right, fine. Y'all people are getting too low energy. Let's barrel through this. Do we all thumb this segment?
Boom.
I thumbs it up.
Yeah, it was an up.
All right. Malachi Black. House of Black, baby. No idea what Alistair to say. Do Black. Not care. What did I say? Did I say Alistair Black?
No, you said Malachi.
Okay, good.
You did a me.
What? No, what?
You did
something. No, it is Malachi Black. What?
Yeah.
I thought he was, oh my God, is he Malachi Black now?
Oh yes. My God, you just came after me. You idiot.
Because
you
got here's what happened to me, because I was thinking as I was writing down, I was like, oh, Malachi Black. I was like, wait, no, he's Alistair Black now.
No, it technically is my fault, because like a week or two ago, I did do that legit. So it probably got in your head. So I apologize, but also, oh my God.
I know.
You are a monster.
I'm my mom.
Wow.
Me,
wow.
Me, I'm my mom. Me.
We see where your priorities are.
Yeah.
Where your seniorities are.
Oh.
We've got, this is really great, and all the house members make an appearance in this one, and basically they're going to put down corruption, and, they've all been tried for treason, and the punishment is extermination.
Don't know what any of that means, but it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
You know, if we completely turned over our justice system to this system, I don't know how badly wrong we could go.
You couldn't get much worse.
We'd go real wrong. But, you know, it's fun to think about.
I would say that.
I gave it a thumbs up.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. Yep. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to see them like around at all, and I think that they're all already doing some really interesting stuff.
I agree.
Agreed.
Shivani, finally sitting down with Jamie Hayter, and it's not interrupted.
Finally.
Fuck, it only took 3 weeks. So Jamie Hayter, I mean, you think she's great now, and then you get her in an interview setting and let her talk, and it's like, damn it, she's fucking great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we weren't wrong. All of us who were like, give her a fucking belt. None of us were wrong.
Nope.
We're vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
She can do it all. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was very happy.
She got her sit down, and she was unimpeded.
Yeah, I just liked, you know, her character, how it comes through in that setting, and I don't know. I just thought it was a good little further introduction to her, and a thumbs up.
All I gotta say is, how you gonna knock it out the park when you just sitting down? I tell you what, Jamie Hayter knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Da 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 da.
I think go ahead. Yeah, I wish that she could have like sat like on top of the, not in this in the chair, but like on sit on the back, or do it backward style, something like that. I think that always makes it more dynamic.
like your youth pastor.
Youth pastor, yeah. You know.
Cool teacher style, yeah.
I believe that is the background from which Calder draws. Like, yeah, cool substitute teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how cool I know to school.
That's cool.
Immediately how I register cool.
That's hip, you guys.
You know.
Well, I didn't say that was Jesse, what made George Michael in his prime cool. I didn't think he did that.
Did Jesse Tanner do
this
it?
This is all coming
it's
together.
Fucking cool. All right. Sorry.
We Madison got a women's Rain. Trios match.
Yes, mm-hmm. we've got women's trios match. We got the Jade and the Baddies. We got Madison Rain, Kira Hogan, and Sky Blue. This was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was happy to see Red Velvet again.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
she, Red Velvet was good.
Fucking A, right?
Yeah. No, I was thinking to myself about her, that she like her look and the way she was doing things, I liked better than I could remember ever liking her before.
Because
it had seemed like in the past that she had come in as a fake Brandy,
Yes.
and she didn't seem significantly better than that for any time, particularly after, so that I didn't ever really look forward to seeing her. But like, I like what I see now.
Yeah, like as a face, she was doing all this cutesy stuff, but in this situation, she's allowed to have attitude. She's allowed to, show more fierce competitiveness and,
Yeah.
possible infighting. She's allowed, there's so much more she can do in this situation. And I was just happy to see her back and wrestling. And Jade did not, she was telling everybody else to go in until Kira Hogan was tagged, and then Jade immediately got in. Oh, and it was so fun, and it was great, and she just like destroyed her. And that's her 40th win, man. How fun is
Goodness.
this? It's a fun fucking place to be.
It is.
It's
It
just
is.
silly. It's silly. It's almost a whole year, It's
Yeah.
silly. We've got Shivani interviewing.
Wait,
Oh,
did we thumb
I
this?
thumbs it up. Sorry. I
Oh,
thought
okay.
it was.
Called her.
It wasn't up for me. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to hear that because I middled it. Let's move on.
Oh.
Oof. Ooh.
You're getting sick of
Look.
it?
Like the baddies are great. But like Sky Blue, Madison Rain, I do not care for them at all.
Yeah.
Kira Hogan just barely, but except for the bit where Velvet stepped over Sky Blue when she was under the apron, after she
Yeah.
caught her in the apron, beat her down, and then stepped over her,
Yeah,
that
that was
was
pretty
great.
cool.
The rest of the match was just like, fine, I guess we're in that chunk of the show where they bury the women, so
Yeah,
whatever.
that's true. I mean, yeah, I guess my. I just like the whole bit with. I was just happy to see Velvet, and I was happy to see Jade. But yeah, I don't necessarily care for Madison Rain or Sky Blue, but I don't know. We gotta have a trios match, I guess.
Yeah,
And
well, I mean,
the
like it's frustrating because there are women that could be there that we are clamoring for, and we're not getting those ones all consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shivani. Saraya.
Britt Baker.
Yeah, she interrupts, so we don't really get to hear much from Saraya, but we do get a challenge from Britt, and I think it's for their Los Angeles show.
It's for the Los Angeles show, which
That'll be
is
exciting. Yeah.
over a month away.
Yeah. So
It's a long way in the future, but it will be when we are personally physically there. So it's a mixed blessing on our for our part.
like, are they having problems
Indeed.
selling tickets or something? Like, why would they do
I
that?
mean, if they are, this isn't the way to sell more.
No, that wasn't very good. But I middled this.
Yeah, I guess I do too.
I mean, here's the pitch. All right, well, we just had such a barn burner that was a classic that everybody loved, and we know that this feud isn't over yet. We've got to bring him, we'll bring him back with another super exciting match that everyone's going to look forward to, like a month from now, I guess, because it's so heated that, we kind of have to just wait to like relax into it. Oh hey, you know what? How about instead of like a one-on-one like you would expect in a feud, we add random people. You don't know who they are. We haven't figured it out yet, but a month from now there will be a random ass tag match that we will
Right.
both be in.
Well, we know it'll be Jamie and Britt, but Saraya and dot dot dot.
I it's too bad it wasn't Tony as was talked about during the segment, because that would have been something to wait for.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, that was I don't, I don't know. Like the metric that I use, like, am I excited to see a match? I've never felt this much anti that.
Ah.
Like the opposite, like a sucking hole that sucked away all my interest. I thumb this down. I would thumb it less if there were a lower thumb to give.
I mean, you would have no choice but to bring the thumb back around.
Yeah, I'll reach around. There's a thumb in my butt right now.
Hmm. Oof.
It's going all the way around.
At least someone's having a good time.
Oh, yeah. We've got FTR versus the
What did Calder give it?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't like hostile to it, but it wasn't super interesting, so I guess I middle it.
All right. Carry on.
FTR and the Acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
Boop, boop, boop. Excalibur said about the Acclaimed, they're on their A game, no pun intended. And I thought that was funny because, you know, is it also daddy ass? Like, there's so many things you could say.
So many A levels there.
But I was like, good one, Excalibur. So, what's his face from FTR is chopping Anthony Bowens.
The Cash?
Yes. And his Anthony Bowens' bruise on the armpit area. I mean, it was broken capillaries, like fucked up. And through the rest of the match, you see this, like, you know, when they have anywhere close up, but you can see it from far away. It's just nasty, man. Oh, he got hurt.
I hate to tell tales after school, but I do know for a fact that his armpit is an alcoholic.
Wow.
Man, it was crazy. But I thought it was a fun match. I thought this is a great team matchup.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
This is a matchup that they could do a best of seven of, and it would be interesting too, I think.
Probably. I don't know.
No.
I don't know, though.
Stop that. Don't even joke about that.
Yeah.
No. The answer is no.
I was
going
to say, it might.
You wouldn't want seven consecutive raps about FTR.
You know, I don't think the Acclaimed want to do that. It's hard to come up with new shit about the same group.
Just think about how out of A to C the last one would be.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
Think about it, and you
not
know,
liking it.
Let me know. But yeah, you don't. You do.
Nope. Not having it.
You love it. You want it.
look, here's the thing. I thought this was a really good match. I think these are both great teams, and I really liked it all. The bit at the end after was weird.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some cool stuff. They Acclaimed win, which is crazy. Like, there's lots of back
champions.
And forth.
They're champions. People love them. They're on a hot streak.
Everyone loves them.
But it's still kind of crazy. I don't know. FTR, they're winners. You know what I mean? Anyway,
I do know.
And so then they tell FTR, like, come on, scissor. So all of them scissor. It's a five-way scissor. It's fun.
Yeah.
They shake hands and they hug. It's great. Mm-hmm. The sportsmanship. Then we have the Ass Boys coming up on the screen.
Those dirty heels.
Yeah. And they're talking about some message they got in blood from Dem Boys for FTR. And they're challenging a dog collar match.
Dem Boys are the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah.
They had a real barn burner of a match at the last ROH pay-per-view, I want to say. They're an interesting lot. And I think I'd be interested to see this match. That match is interesting. I would like to see that. The Ass Boys selling that match as if they were messengers is weird.
It is weird.
What the fuck? Like, I was just saying earlier in the show, I was like, you know what? Man, those Ass Boys really got it on lock. They've got their niche and they're doing their thing, and like, they're not going to win the titles anytime soon, but they're consistently entertaining and, you know, like making the division better. And then I was like, what the fuck is that? to just say, hey, you're going to fight someone else, just feels strange and like burying them. I don't like it.
It's very weird. And it's also like, why wouldn't we have the Briscoe brothers do it? Because, you know, we have been cross-referencing ROH and, you know, AEW. So why would we withhold that from them? You know, why would we not allow them that audience, right?
And it's also weird. The whole point of this sort of like trash talking or, you know, like dressing up like the other team or whatever is to get into their heads so that you can beat them.
Yeah.
And if you're like making fun of this other team just because you're like
weird,
childish, or would, like, it doesn't make sense to me on any level.
I agree.
I wonder what it might be the product of, whether there was some kind of weirdness that caused them to make that decision when they wouldn't have preferred to.
Might be, or it might have just been like, you know, like, why not just put these guys on because they're supposed to be in a feud with them, and, you know, we want to give them screen time, so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I thumbs up the match.
Same.
Yeah.
This is a 90% show.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
This is a must-watch episode.
Very high. Very high.
It's crazy. You know what? It was mostly promos.
Yeah, yeah. I would, by my rubric, would I feel good, like, telling anybody, go watch this show, you know, if they're not a fan of AEW, this is a show that'll get you in. I would very much say that, like, if you're a fan of, like, the talking part of pro wrestling, yeah, you definitely should watch this show.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of matches, there are a couple good matches.
I agree. It's
one of the weaker wrestling shows that AEW has put on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, everybody. I guess we'll see you next week.
See you then.
Goodbye from the double back microphone club.
The Peeps.
I'm not going to make that a shirt, but it would be kind of cool.
Indeed.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom.